As from the tagline, you can see God's response to our generosity. Yes, 4-week series on generosity. Woohoo! Yeah. 4-week series on giving. Woohoo! You guys ready? Turn to your, give them a high five. Give your neighbor a high five right now. 4 weeks, we're going to talk about giving. We're going to be talking about your money. You excited, aren't you? All right. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. I'd rather get an Ocho Cinco tattoo than talk about generosity for 4 weeks. I'd rather memorize the book of Numbers, probably, than talk about my money for 4 weeks, right? And I know what Rob Goddard's thinking. He's going, I would rather be Timothy preparing for my first missionary journey with the Apostle Paul than talk about money for 4 weeks. Look up Acts chapter 16. Timothy was circumcised. That's how much we love talking about money and our resources and generosity for 4 weeks. But I want to let you know before I get started, you're getting off pretty easy, actually. I went through and I looked at how much Jesus actually talked about money and resources, and I calculated that I should talk about it 7 weeks out of 52 weeks. So this is actually the first time in about 55 weeks, 60 weeks now of the church that we've talked about money. So only 4 weeks, so you're getting off easy. So I'm going to have to pick it up next year, and we'll have 7 weeks on giving and generosity. But I understand there's a lot of apprehension about it. It's not a series that a lot of us probably love to come to and engage with. I'm sure some of us were thinking, you know, the blessed life, man, that sounds like it's going to be a good series. Now Jeff tells me we're talking about giving and generosity, and I'm sure some of us went, oh, here we go again. Here's the church talking about my money. But I want to let you know that's not the case. That is not the heart of this series, and I think you'll find that out if you're willing to engage with it over 4 weeks. Quite frankly, what the blessed life is all about, it's really nothing more than a discipleship series, like we just finished with the vision series. We spent 4 weeks talking about God's vision for our faith and God's vision for our relationships and our health. And how's the fitness challenge going for you? Going good? All right, you guys are looking good. You're looking already. So we've got a long way to go. We're 14 days into the 90-day challenge, but we talked about practical things, and those are really discipleship issues, and so is giving and generosity. It's really a discipleship series, and I kind of warned you at the beginning of the year, this is where we're going to go a lot of this year, because I'll take you back to January 6th. For those of you that were here, you might remember we talked about the God's glory. I kicked off the new year saying, you know, this year we're going to be talking a lot about the glory of God, and how much God is for his glory, God is about his glory, but how much God desires his people to bring glory to his name. And so there's a verse that keeps popping up probably every 3 or 4 talks around here. Kevin Payton even brought it up last week in his talk, and it's 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, in everything we do, we should do it for the glory of God. So the scripture actually says, no matter what we eat, what we drink, it's for the glory of God. No matter where we work or how we work, it's for the glory of God. And the same is true with our resources, what we have and what we do with them. It's all for the glory of God. And that's really the heart behind this series is for our lives to be conformed to the glory of God and to the likeness of Jesus Christ, because it's really a discipleship series. And so a few things I want to do to remind us before we dig into it, just what discipleship is all about. So if you've got a bulletin on the back, there'll be some fill-in-the-blanks in just a moment. But a couple things about discipleship that I want us to remember is that discipleship is not a checklist. Christianity is not a to-do and don't-do list. This isn't a series about that. This isn't a series that we're trying to check a box and say that I gave my money to the church and now God loves me. This is not what discipleship is about. Discipleship, more than anything, is about us walking in who we are, our identities of people who have been rescued and redeemed by Jesus Christ as sons and daughters of Christ. This series is about walking in that true identity. So it's not a series about checking a box and saying, you know, I've done my fair share. That's not what discipleship is. Another thing I want us to make sure we remember that discipleship is not about trying harder. Sometimes even with the vision series and God's vision for your health, I try to remind us that if we're going to conform our lives for the long haul so that we live a healthy life that brings glory to God, it's not about trying harder. It's not just about willpower. And this series about generosity, it's not just about trying harder or willpower, but it's remembering to rely on the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. So that's what discipleship is. But I want to give us 2 specific things before I really dive into the key teaching for today to kick off this series. And these are fill-in-the-blanks for you. And these are things I'm going to challenge you with throughout the whole series. And this hopefully gives us the right mindset when we talk about our money, things that make us uncomfortable. We talk about giving and we talk about generosity. Two things I really want us to try to challenge ourselves with during this series. The first is this. Living a life of generosity is not about duty, but joy. Read a verse to you from John chapter 15, verse 9 through 11. It'll be on your screen. It says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." What Jesus is saying here up to this, he's just saying, you know, by keeping the commands of God, we remain in the Father's love. But verse 11 tells us why. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." This is just a reminder for all of us that when we talk about generosity and we talk about living that life of generosity, and I'll define that as we go on during this series, that God's purpose for that is actually to bring us joy. that the result that God wants for any time we keep the commands of God, they're for our joy. And, you know, I know that sometimes we don't think that, but everything God asks us to do is for our good. But ultimately, it's for our joy to find that satisfaction in him in the life that he has called us to. And so when we go through this series and you start to feel that guilt trip, because the reality is most of us aren't where God wants us to be with respect to living a life of generosity. So I know throughout these 4 weeks, you're going to have those moments where you're going to feel like, I just got to do it. You're going to feel like a duty to obey the scriptures. And true, yeah, we should always obey the scriptures. And if we don't have the right heart, we should obey the scriptures, right? Just because we don't feel like it doesn't mean we shouldn't obey the teachings of Christ. But it's not a duty thing. It's a joy thing. So try to remind yourself that God is asking you to walk into a life of generosity. It's for your joy, believe it or not. The next thing is this. Living a life of generosity is not about obligation, but freedom. Galatians 5:1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Why God calls us to a life of generosity is not just for our own joy, but it's for our own freedom. And I think most of us probably, if we're honest, we know we worry a lot about money. We worry a lot about resources. We worry a lot about God's provision in our lives. Maybe for some of us, that's a barrier to living a generous lifestyle. But God has called us actually through generosity to bring freedom to our lives. Kind of crazy, isn't it? What God is saying in a lot of ways is the more generous we are with what we have, the more freedom we will feel, the less anxiety we will have in our lives. And so again, when you go through this and you're starting to feel that guilt trip and you're starting to feel this, I've got to do it, I've got to be a good Christian soldier and give my money, prevent yourself from thinking that way. Remind yourself that God is calling us to generosity for our joy, and he's calling us to a life of generosity for freedom. Let's pray and then we'll dive in. Father, we just thank you for this morning, God. It's good to be back after a week away. Father, I just thank you for just the refreshment of worship corporately here this morning in my own life. Father, I just ask that your spirit would be moving in a strong and tangible way. Holy Spirit, would you help me to teach the scriptures according to their truth? And would you give us all the ability to open our hearts, God, to open our minds, and to lay before you the life of generosity that you've called us to. So, God, would you begin to quiet fears that some of us may have about that? Father, would you bring truth to our lives here this morning? Would you begin to shatter any lies that we're living under this morning by your word and through your truth? And we pray this in Christ's name. Everybody said amen. All right. Well, keep your bulletin out. Flip it over again if you haven't done so already. We've got a lot of fill in the blanks today. You guys like fill in the blanks? Do you? I don't know. They help me. I don't know if you like them, but it's something to go home with too. But I got two things I want to kind of focus on here this morning. And the first is this. Our perspective about generosity is shaped by our view of God. It's quite frankly, it's true on any area of our life, but especially with how we view living a life of generosity. And how we view God has a long way going of telling us how we view generosity. So I want to give us a couple perspectives here this morning on who God is that I think actually encourage and promote generosity in our lives. And the first is obvious, but we're going to break it down, is that God himself is generous. Any baseline for generosity in our lives that isn't going to be duty-based has to start with a foundation in the truth that God himself is generous. And our generosity flows from that. But how is God generous? Three ways I want to share with us this morning. And I think for many of us, be reminded here this morning just how generous God is. And the first is that God is generous in creation. From the very beginning, we see God's generosity in our lives. And we can't forget that. God created the world, right? There was nothing in it. Nothing existed. And all of a sudden, God said, I'm going to make the world. Now, let alone, that just blows my mind, and hopefully that still blows your mind, that nothing existed, okay? But God said, I'm going to create something. I'm going to create the world. And God began creating the world. He created the stars, and then he created the seas and the fish in the sea. And as he created these things, he kept saying they're really good. And then he created the trees and the fruit, and he said, it is good. And he created the animals, and he said, these things are all good. And then he created Adam and Eve. And things are good. First, he created Adam, and he said, all things are good. And what did he say to Adam? I give you dominion over all that. God's first act of generosity to us is simply that God created this world, and to God, it was perfect. So God is kind of just standing there, man, and God's like, man, I did a good job, didn't I? He was patting himself on the back, saying, man, I nailed it. And he gave it all to Adam. First act of generosity we see to God. And then, but as Adam sat alone, what did God say about Adam? You've heard of this before. He said, it's good, but it's not great because Adam's alone. So what did God do? Another generous act. He gave Adam Eve. So now we have Adam and Eve who have been given dominion over everything. Given everything God had to give them at that point, he gave them. He said, it's all yours. It's all good. So God from the very beginning is generous towards us. Now he gave them everything but one thing. What was that? The tree of good and evil, tree of knowledge. And he said, you can have everything. Why didn't he allow them to have that one thing? Why? Because he knew it wasn't good for them. He knew it wasn't good for them. But we know the story, right? They went to the tree. They ate its fruit. But even throughout history, we continue to see God's generosity. All throughout the Old Testament, you see God continuing to give all that he had to his people. So from the very beginning, we need to remember and recognize that God is generous to us. He really is. He has not withheld anything from us. Only those things that aren't good for us. But then God's probably greatest act of generosity is seen is that God is generous to us in salvation. Now, this is obvious. I think it's an obvious statement to us. But again, for me and I think for all of us, if we're going to be promoted to live a life of generosity with our money and with our resources, this has to be the center of it. Everything that has to flow from that. If it doesn't flow from this statement that God is generous to us, specifically in our salvation, then it just turns into a religious act that we're doing. And it's not really what God's heart is. Again, it's for joy and it's for freedom. But John 3:16, God so loved the world that he what? He gave his one and only son. All right, so we see God the Father giving his son Jesus to us. Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul says, one of my life verses, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I live in this body by faith in the Son of God who, what? Gave his life for me. So we see God the Father giving us the Son. We see Jesus Christ the Son giving his life for us. Giving his life for us. Generously giving his life for us. And I hope this morning, just as I say that to you, if you're a follower of Christ, that somehow that's resonating with you. That you haven't come so numb to the gospel in your own life that you're not reminded here this morning. So please allow yourself to be reminded here this morning. Think back to that time when you met Jesus Christ. Think back to that time you remember the flood of love that you felt when you met Jesus. Now maybe you were young and maybe it was a later in life and you were in high school or older, but you came to this new revelation of who Jesus was. Think back to that time when you felt free from your sin. You felt free to be loved by God. I remember for me of 12, 13 years ago, I can still remember that feeling alone in my one-bedroom apartment on my knees, but just in that moment, it was just a rushing of the Holy Spirit into your lives and just feeling the abundant love of God. And yes, I've had experiences like that since then, but But do not forget, if you're a follower of Christ, just how generous God has been to us in sending the Son, and how generous Jesus has been to us in giving his life for us. If it's not the focal point of where we go for the next 4 weeks, I don't think we're going to end up where God wants us. And if you're in this room and you've never, what I'm saying to you right now seems foreign to you, maybe today will be the day that you get to experience the generosity of God through the sending of the Son, Jesus Christ. So God is generous to us in creation. God is generous to us in salvation. But the reality is God is just generous to us all the time. Everyday life, every area of our life, God is generous to us. Read a verse here from 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has what? Given us everything we need. Here we go again. Jesus went away, okay, and he said, it's good for me to go. Why? Because he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And it's just when you keep thinking about that, God's nature, he's a giver. The Father gives the Son gives his life, the Son goes away, then gives us the Holy Spirit. God is continually giving us, and the scripture tells us that through his divine power, he has given us every single thing we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says it another way. It just says that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. Again, is that how you view God? That's one of the questions I have you here this morning. Do you feel like God just pours out everything he has for you? That God makes everything available to him to you? Because I believe he does. I believe that God withholds nothing that is good from us. For those who love him, for those who seek him, for those who have a heart for him, he gives up to us generously. So a challenge for some of us is that how you view God? Is that the God that you know? Or is the God you know just somebody who just decides to bless people, maybe a few at a time, and he seems to always miss you? God wants to give you a blessed life. And what we're going to learn through this series, part of the blessed life is God's response to our own generosity. But baseline, God is generous. We cannot forget just how generous God is. But the second thing I want us to remember is that God owns everything. God absolutely owns everything. Yash talked about Psalm 24. This is the first verse in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Again, God owns everything. All the gold, all the silver, everything. God is a God of unlimited resources, and that's really important when we start talking about us giving some of our resources away, that we have to remind ourselves that God is a God of unlimited resources. God's not up there in the sky, just has like a pile of resources that he's able to give a little to this person, a little to that person. God, it's unlimited. God is the creator of everything. God is not limited in the blessings that he can give out to his people. And so the reason this is important, because if we take these two pieces together, one that God is generous, okay, and one that God has an unlimited amount of resources, that God owns everything, that is the baseline for our generosity. Because what that should do in our lives, that should begin to take away the fears that most of us have, and that's the reality where most of us are here this morning. That's not condemnation, but that's just us being truthful for where we're at, that most of us have fears and worries about giving our stuff away. And what should help quiet those fears is that God is generous to us. God owns everything and has unlimited resources. That should begin, I hope, this morning in some small way to take away some of the fears that we have about giving our stuff away. But it should also, I believe, promote generosity. Not only quiet fears in our lives, but it should give us the courage to live a generous lifestyle. So again, that's the baseline for where we want to go in this series. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is this. Our attitude towards money and generosity are a reflection of our spiritual condition. Now we're going to start getting personal. I haven't been personal yet, so I'm going to start getting personal. Put it another way. What we think about money, what we think about our resources has a lot to say about what we think about God. All right, I want us to go through a little exercise here. So I want you to pretend like you're a financial advisor, okay? Pretend your name's E.F. Hutton. or something like that. But pretend you have a friend coming to you, and I'm going to give you two illustrations, and just think through in your mind how you would give advice to this friend. All right? You got it? You ready? Are you awake? Generosity, 4 weeks. Woo! All right. Come on. We got a long way to go. All right. Think about what you would do. Say you got a friend come to you. Let's just say it's an elderly woman. She comes to you, and she says, you know, I've got $5 to my name. That's all I've got left. And I feel like, though, God wants me to give it to the offering. But I'm a little worried. I only have, you know, enough food for the rest of the day. So I've got, she says to you, I've got $5, all right? And I feel like I want to give it away. But I want to, you know, I only have food for one day. What kind of advice would you give her? I know what I would probably do. I would probably say something like this, and this is maybe what you're thinking. That's sweet. You know, that's so sweet of you. You wanted to give that money away, but you need to use that money to buy some food. Because in reality, is God knows your heart, right? God knows that you are willing to give it away. So just go ahead and go get some stinking food. That's why God gave you the $5 so you could go buy food. Right? I know that's probably what I would do. I don't know what you all would do, but practical advice like that would be probably something that I would give to her and saying, you know what? It's sweet and you have a right heart and God sees your heart, but he gave you that money so you could take care of yourself. Okay. Maybe you don't think that way. That's just how I think. Next example is this. Let's say you've got a friend, and let's say they're 50-year-old businessman, and he comes to you and just, he says, you know, I had the best year of my life in business. I made 5 times more in this year than I ever made before. And he starts to talk to you about this plan he has. You go, I think what I want to do, I want to take that money I made this year, that extra 5 years of income, I want to put it away and I want to invest it so I can retire 5 years early because I've been working hard, I'm starting to get tired, and I could really use that early retirement. What would you tell that person? I think a lot of us may say something like this. Man, that is awesome. You had a great year. God blessed you this year. Way to go. You worked really hard, too. I saw you. You earned that. You worked really hard with that money. It sounds like a good plan to me. I'm jealous. I wish I could do that. I wish I had enough money to put in the bank so I could retire 5 years early. You should go ahead and do that. That's a wise decision. That's the smart thing to do. And again, man, you worked hard. You earned that, okay? Maybe that was the advice that you would give that person. Maybe it's not. But I think in the world we live in, that's the type of advice you can expect from the world and its systems. Now, that's an obvious setup to maybe that's not the advice that God would give those to individuals. So I want to read to you a couple passages of scriptures, and we'll compare that advice that maybe you would give, but I'm certain the world would give to those people. So the first goes and talks about this lady who has $5 left, and I'm going to go to Mark chapter 12. I'm going to read 4 verses to you, beginning in verse 41. It won't be on your screen, so you're going to have to listen. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." Listen up. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. The mind and the logic and the wisdom tells us, take that $5 and go buy some food with it. We see Jesus observing this woman who had a few coins to her name, all that she had, put it into the offering. And Jesus lifts her up through scripture saying, that's how we ought to give, using her as an example to both the rich and the poor, how we ought to live. And this is an illustration of maybe how we think about our money and our resources is different at times than how God views we should handle our money and our resources. Let's see how the rich businessman turned out. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. This is Jesus. It says, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And I'll stop there for a second. This rich man that he's talking about in this parable most likely is just a Jew of the day. He was probably a good Jew that went to the temple three times a year. He probably took his tithe in on a monthly basis. So this is the person we're talking about here. We're not talking about somebody who was a greedy person by nature, that at least we would call them that, but someone who was going about their business, probably loved God, probably gave his 10%. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God.'" Turned out a little bit different than maybe we thought it would, using our example. In our example, no doubt, I guarantee you, if you went to a financial advisor, they would have told that person, "You're doing the right thing. Save that money. Retire early. Enjoy your life. You deserve it." In this parable, Jesus is saying, no, that's not the case. That is not the case. I don't want you to take your excess and just store it up in surplus for yourselves. Maybe God has a different plan for what we should do with our resources. Again, how we think about our resources is going to be completely different if we open our minds to how God views them. How God wants us to give generously is going to be different. I think all of us will learn if we open our hearts to hearing the scriptures during this series. But in those two stories, in those two parables, there's two really key points that I don't want us to miss. And I think they're really practical to the community that is starting to grow here at Village Community Church. And it's next blank for you. Those parables also tell us this: both the rich and the poor are called to a life of generosity. Both the rich and the poor, the young and the old, everyone is called to a life of generosity. In fact, we see the poor widow being highlighted for all eternity through the scriptures as a model for giving. So I don't care who you are, I don't care how much you have or how little you have, the reality is this series is for you, that God calls both the rich and the poor to a lifestyle of generosity. And it's not a matter of how much we have and how much we give away. And that's your next blank for you there. It says, generosity can't be measured by a formula. All of us have been called to this lifestyle of generosity. And unfortunately, God doesn't make it easy for us necessarily to live a generous life, meaning he doesn't really give us a formula. Week 3 during this series, we're going to talk about a thing called the tithe, and some of you that might not be familiar what a tithe is, but it's this idea in scripture that we see about giving your first fruits, the first 10% of what you have, back to God. But it's still, that's not as easy as that. Living a lifestyle of generosity is not just about a formula or a tithe. It's not about how much you give away at all. And I want to throw a picture up on the screen here, Tracy, if you have that. And it's just, this came into the offering a few weeks ago. It actually came in up at the Rivers Crossing campus, and obviously from the looks of it, it looks like a child probably did it, right? Just a plastic bag, a few crumpled up dollars and some coins, and he was probably trying to write something. They probably weren't old enough to write. But we don't know the story behind this, but it really caught our attention just seeing this and just gripped our heart in seeing this picture. I don't know if this, I envision a little girl maybe that had a lemonade stand and made some money from it, and she decided she wanted to give some of that money back and to invest it in the kingdom and get to help people know Jesus Christ. But for us, it's just an illustration of generosity. It's not a formula, and it's not a matter of how much you give. Generosity isn't for the people, and there's people, that's what I love about this church. There's people in here that make six figures, and there's people in this church that probably live on $15,000 a year. It doesn't matter who you are. God's call on your life is for joy and for freedom and for being blessed. And part of that, receiving that blessing, and we're going to get to that, is living a lifestyle of generosity. So this series is for you. You have a little or you have a lot. This series is for you. And God has a great plan for you through the lifestyle of generosity that he's calling you to. And the reality is, this is just a big deal to Jesus. You know, I made a joke that I'd have to do sermon series for 7 weeks out of the year. How I got that number is simple, because of all the words we have from Jesus in Scripture, 15% of the time of the recorded words of Christ, he's talking about money and resources. Jesus talked about this a lot. He talked about our money and resources more than he talked about heaven and hell. He talked about money and resources more than he talked about faith. Again, this is a real big deal to Jesus. Jesus said this, where you find your treasure, right, there your heart will also be. What we value in life, what we treasure in life, that's where our heart is. And I would even add, what we worry about in life and what we're obsessed about in life, there our heart is also. Jesus also said, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and you can't serve money. You're going to love one and hate the other. So part of the series is really, hey, who do we serve and what do we serve? And again, that doesn't mean serving God and being is that we want to live the life and have all the possessions. That's only a piece of it. That's one way we can go. I lived that way for a lot of my life, where I was worried about all the possessions I could get. I thought that's how life occurred. That's how satisfaction came, was through buying things. So I used to buy a lot of stuff and spend a lot of money. But on the other end, you have folks who just worry. You don't have much, but you just worry day to day about what God's going to provide for you, if God is going to come through for you. And so we hold on and we cling to our resources. It's for both people. It doesn't matter where you're at. That God doesn't want you on that extreme, and he doesn't want you on the other extreme. God wants you right where he wants you to have freedom and have joy through living a lifestyle of generosity. And maybe the bottom line idea for today's talk is simply this. God doesn't want your money. Maybe you need to hear that. Some of us, you grew up in a church, and every week was money, money, money. I've heard that I come to your church because you guys don't talk about money a lot. Well, you're probably gonna lose people now because I'm talking about money for 4 weeks. But I've had a lot of people come to me. I love your church because you never talk about money. And I would say to that, shame on me. I'm probably delayed in doing this, but we need to talk about money around here. But God doesn't want your money, and you need to hear that. But God wants your heart. He wants your heart. The God who owns everything, the God who has unlimited resources, he doesn't need our money. The kingdom's going to come regardless of money. But God wants our heart, but God wants to bless us too. God wants to bless you through your generosity. And that's really my setup for next week. One, walk away here knowing God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. But know that God wants to bless you through your generosity. And I want to read a verse to you, and I'm going to start wrapping up with this. It comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It's one of many scriptures that talk about how God will bless us through our generosity. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, the house of God, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Again, the only place in Scripture we see God saying test us is through our generosity. He doesn't say test us in anywhere else, but God says, test me in your generosity. Basically, God is saying, see if you can outgive me. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it in. When we're generous, God blesses us. He really does. And I'm not talking of this health and wealth prosperity gospel, and some of you may be familiar with that. What I'm not saying is this, that if you give God your money, you're going to be healthy and you're not going to have any problems. You can't say that. That's a lie. That goes against the teachings of Scripture, because in this trouble, surely, in this world, we will surely have trouble, say the Scriptures. Jesus says, actually, if you pursue me with all your heart, you're going to be persecuted. So we can be guaranteed that if we love Jesus with all our heart, we're going to have trouble and we're going to have persecution, okay? But through our generosity, what the Scriptures and others tell us, that God wants to bless us, that when we give away our resources, God is going to give us back much more than we gave away. God is not going to leave us in want and need because we gave too much away. That will never happen to you. It didn't happen to the widow who gave everything she had. And I've known people who have done that, literally gave everything they had. But God returned that. Some Scriptures say 100-fold. But hear me, I'm not saying you write a check for $100, God's going to give you $1,000. I'm not saying that. But I'm not saying he won't either. It's a really tough balance for me to walk in during this series because the scriptures tell me that when we're generous, he blesses us. He gives it back to us. And I want that to not be our motivation, but I want that to quiet all the fears that we have about giving too much away. Because there is such a need. I mean, the cause is so great for us to be generous with our resources, isn't it? So many people in need and in want. So many people who do not know Jesus Christ, that if we can remove those fears and those barriers we have, oh my goodness, what blessings we will receive, but what we will see God do with that is incredible. So I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and we're just going to kind of close the service. I just want to close today doing a little time of prayer and with communion as we almost always do every week around here. And I feel like to start off this series, because I've got 4 weeks to talk about it, I felt like, you know, we're going to start easy. But it's important for us to start with the right perspective, that God is generous, that God owns everything, that none of us in this room can outgive God. Quite frankly, I want all of us to wrestle with the idea that no matter how generous we are, that we'll never go in need and want because of our generosity. It will never be our generosity that causes that. It never will be our generosity. And if for some reason you've always thought, you know, all the church wants is my money, all God wants is my money, all that Pastor Jeff wants is my money, that's not true. What God wants, and quite frankly, what I want for you, is your heart for God. And so this is a series about turning our hearts to God, opening our hearts and our minds for God to say, God, let whatever you want to do with my resources, God, I'm listening. I'm open to you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. God, you've given us an unlimited number of reasons to love you and to want to honor you and to want to glorify you with our lives, but there's none greater than that of the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, God, we give you all honor and glory here this morning, and we remind ourselves this morning just how generous you've been to us through the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. If you're in this room and you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you've tasted that sweet taste of freedom and grace that can only be found putting your faith in Christ, would you take yourself back to that place? Would you remind yourself here this morning of just the outpouring of grace in your life? That time when you have felt just the Spirit of God overflood you with his mercies. Those are often the times in life where we can obviously say, God, we don't deserve it. God, we screwed up, we've messed up, but yet, God, I can't contain myself because your mercy and your grace is so strong. And maybe it's not the classic time to ask someone to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ after talking about giving and generosity, but my heart knows that there's people in this room here this morning who don't know who Jesus is, who haven't tasted the grace and the mercy that I talk about. You may have been coming to the Village for some time, and you may have been even dating Jesus for some time, testing him out, seeing what he's all about. But for all of us, there comes a point in time when we need to cross that line of faith, and we need to put our faith not in ourselves, not in what we can accomplish, but in what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Scripture says if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. So I want to give an opportunity to those in this room who have yet to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ to cross that line of faith here this morning, to allow the grace and the mercy of God to flood over you. If we could all just close our eyes and bow our heads. Because reality is, you know what, this is on one hand, it's a personal decision for us to make. No one can make it for us. A parent can't make it. A friend can't. A spouse can't. something we need to decide to do. Jesus is someone we decide to follow. But the scriptures also say in a balance to that, that if you acknowledge me before men, says Jesus, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So as everyone's eyes are closed but mine are open, if there's anyone in this room who wants to begin a relationship with Jesus here this morning, would you please raise your hand? Know that God has good plans for you. God has called you to a great life and adventure with Christ. Anybody wants to begin that journey this morning, go ahead and raise your hand. Well, Father, I pray over this congregation, God, that for those who do not yet know you, God, I pray that you would continue to draw people to yourself here in the village, God. I ask that you would continue to show your unending patience with us, Father, when we run away from you. And God, I pray for everyone in this room who does know you, who has found life in you, Jesus, that you would bring them refreshment here this morning, that you would bring them encouragement here this morning, that through a reminder of your generosity, that their step would be a little lighter, that their hearts would beat a little bit faster for you, Jesus. As we close out the service, let's close out with sharing communion with one another. A good reminder, once again, of God's generosity towards us. So as you come forward for communion here this morning, and it's open to anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're not yet a follower, Scripture says just hang out where you are, continue to contemplate if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus. But if you're a follower of Christ, as you walk forward, just remind yourselves of God's generosity that we find here. The bread represents Jesus' body that was broken for us. And the juice represents Jesus' blood, which was shed for us, which allows us to live under this new covenant that is marked by grace and mercy and peace and kindness. So we'll start communion in the back. We'll come down the middle and out the outside, and we'll close with a song and worship.